We just sang together the words from Psalm 119, and if you notice the very last phrase, hating falsehood and loving right. That's basically the theme of our text this morning, hating falsehood and loving what is right. Let's turn now in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Continuing our series. Someone asked me how long I was going to be spending on 1 Corinthians 13, and we're not going to be looking at every aspect, but we are trying to pick out the major points as we look at this chapter in its entirety. So we've come to chapter 13, verse 6. That's the text or the theme for this morning. So we're approximately halfway through 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to read the first seven verses, but as I said, the focus is on verse 6. That's found on page 1114 in our Black Pew Bibles. 1 Corinthians 13, the first seven verses. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his increase and blessing to it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in what things do you rejoice in? What things give you pleasure? What do you delight in? Well, when you consider the world in which we live, our present society, if I were to ask you, what sort of things does our society celebrate? What sort of events or people or group or movements will get parades? What sort of things will get the most coverage on our television? What sort of people or accomplishments are the things in which our world rejoices in? Are these things that our world rejoices in the same things that the church should rejoice in, that we as Christians will rejoice in? Well, today we continue our study on 1 Corinthians 13 by seeing that true love is a love that rejoices. True love is a love that has a joy, a celebration in what is right and good. Over the past few weeks, we have seen that true love is necessary. It's a necessary component of the Christian life. For without love, we can do nothing, we are nothing, we have nothing. True love is also kind, and it's patient. It's not quick to anger, but it's long suffering. It's not self-seeking, selfish, or rude, but rather it loves the other and puts the other before itself. As we look at 1 Corinthians 13, we find that there's a broad themes that are given. There are specific aspects, but also there is an unfolding of the universality of love and how it covers everything, every aspect of our lives. So today we look at this theme that Jesus Christ teaches us to lovingly rejoice in the truth. Well, today we are going to start with the negative aspect, that true love that rejoices in the truth refuses to rejoice in what is unrighteous. True love does not rejoice, refuses to rejoice, does not delight in evil, our verse 6 says. Now, to delight in actions and teachings that are evil is to delight in things that are contrary to God's word and violate his justice. These workers of iniquity find joy in the iniquity that they perform. If you call to mind what we read a few minutes ago from Proverbs 1 and Psalm 1, you know, the very well-known Psalm 1 says, The righteous man is like a tree firmly established, but the wicked not so. The wicked, they are like chaff. The wicked are not going to be established. The wicked sit in the seat of scoffers. They stand in the way of sinners. They walk in the counsel of the wicked. And like the wicked, will be carried away, burned up, consumed. They will not endure. Or as we read in Proverbs chapter 1, the wicked entice into further wickedness. The wicked seek companionship with those who are wicked, and they say, let's lie in wait together. Let's shed innocent blood, and we'll carry the booty away, and we'll split the purse of unjust gain. The fact is that evildoers not only delight in doing evil themselves, but they encourage others into the very same wickedness. Isaiah 5 says, woe to those who call evil good. People live in a state of sin because it gives them pleasure. The reason people are addicted to various sins is because they find delight in that sin. Or even as Romans 1 verse 32 says, these unrighteousness not only practice wicked things, but they give their approval to those who practice such things. What came to mind is, think of the things that our world approves of. Think of our own governor here in Illinois or Indiana. What sort of things does our governor, our mayors, what sort of things do they praise? What sort of events do they attend and give their stamp of approval to? Well, Christian love refuses to delight in things that are evil. Rather, they are grieved by it. But Romans says that the unrighteous suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. Or even think for a moment of the world of journalism. What sort of things are the front page? What sort of news headlines are leading the opening of the news? It's a common, a truism in the world of journalism that if it bleeds, it leads. The more gruesome, outlandish, scandalous, vile the crime is, the larger the headline it receives. Our world delights in what is evil and unrighteousness. Proverbs 2 verse 14 says this, the perverted man rejoices in doing evil and delights in the perverseness of evil. True love, true Christian love, refuses to delight in what is wicked. Now, this preoccupation with sin, even a delight in unrighteousness, can unfortunately be seen in the church. Our passage says that love does not celebrate the sins of others. It's a sad truth that what can sometimes happen in the church is when a sin in others is exposed, instead of weeping, instead of mourning, humbling yourself in the dust, grieving in sackcloth, what sometimes happens in the church is when a sin in someone else is exposed, there is a sinful pleasure. Perhaps you saw in the past few weeks that the very well-known pastor Bill Hybels of Willow Creek was accused of sexual misconduct. How did the church, other churches, respond? Well, I can see why that would happen. I mean, we look at the church. Do we rejoice when the wicked and wickedness within the church is seen? Do we rejoice when the mighty fall? Does it give us secret pleasure when other popular Christians are caught up in sin and scandal? Do we have a smug sense of superiority? That would never happen here. The fact is, we must never take secret pleasure and delight when sins are found in the world or in the church. This is what was happening in the Corinthian church. If you have your Bibles open, or maybe later today, you can read at 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, there was such a sexual scandal in the Corinthian church that a man was having sexual relations with his father's wife. So his father was remarried, and this man was having sexual relations with his father's second wife. And instead of being grieved by that, the church was celebrating that. Look at how understanding we are as a church. Look at what kind of welcoming church we are. They were part of the sexual revolution of the day. And Paul says, instead of delighting in this, you should be grieving. Grieving over this wickedness within the church. But even if we don't celebrate the sins of others in that way, another way that we can celebrate the sins of others is by delighting in the fact that when others sin, it makes us look so much better. When others fall into sin, we elevate ourselves. Delighting in their sin because it makes my sin look less significant. That's another way that as a church we can be tempted to delight in the sins of others. But Proverbs 24 says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not be glad when he stumbles, lest God see it and be dismayed." Celebrating the sins of others does two things. The first thing that it does is it grieves God, because the church should never celebrate sin. The church should never celebrate the sins of others. And the second thing that this does is it opens your own heart towards sin. Because when you celebrate the sins of others, you are tempted individually to engage in that very sin. Beware lest you fall, Scripture says. If you think you stand, beware. Celebrating the sins of others tempts you into that very same sin. And the third thing that it does is it produces a heart of pride. A pride that is contrary to the gospel humility which is necessary. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 27, "Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." So true love, true Christian love, properly hates something. It hates iniquity and takes no pleasure in wickedness and rebellion. Corinthians even says, you should hate the garment that is stained with sin. Christian love refuses to delight in lawlessness wherever it is seen. Sin is by its very nature repulsive to God, and it must be repulsive to God's people. It's true love that compels us to expose sin in the world and in the church and in our own lives. True love is never comfortable with indwelt sins. It's our hatred for sin that moves us from Matthew chapter 18. If a brother is living in sin, it's love for that brother that compels us to tell them, "Brother, you are living in sin." True love hates sin. We have a holy distaste for unrighteousness. Love does not rejoice in the deeds that violate God's law. Rather, love rejoices in the truth. The things that we love are the things that we set our heart on. The things that we delight, the things that we desire, the things that we take pleasure in is a reflection of what we think is good, holy, desirable, and upright. So as verse 6 continues, true Christian love does not delight in evil or wrongdoing. Literally, the word is unrighteousness. Does not delight in unrighteousness, but it does delight with the truth. True love delights with what is true, or with the truth, with what is right and accords with reality. Now, what is truth? truth is contrasted by unrighteousness. It is contrasted by what is wrong, whatever is foolish, stupid, mad, confused, deceived. True love is contrasted to all of these things. True love is found in delighting in what is objectively true. What is real? What is certain? What is the reality of this world in which we live? True love also delights in the truthfulness in godly religion. What corresponds to God's law, whatever is lovely, we call this form of truth righteousness. A Christian loves righteousness, the upright duty of man. The Christian delights in what is revealed in God's word. 2 Corinthians 6 says, God's word is the word of truth. So a Christian delights in the truth of God's word, delights in doing, believing, and obeying what is true. To delight in God's law, Psalm 119. Love delights in what is honest and trustworthy. But true love also delights in the truth. Loving truth is delighting in a truthful one, a relationship. To love the truth is to love the one who said, I am the truth. John 14. True love delights in the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. It is Pilate, it is the world that says, what is truth? I don't know what the truth is. What's true for you may be true for you. It's not true for me. But the Christian says there is a standard of truth that does not change. And there is a truthful one in whom my heart delights. John 15 says, this is Jesus speaking, John 15, his joy is in us. And because his joy is in us, that joy is complete. So a Christian takes pleasure in the relationship with his truthful God, God who is true, and in his word. To be filled with Christian love means that our highest joy and delight is found first and foremost in the truthful one and the word of the truthful one. It is this truth that we hold dear and gives us the greatest joy. Now, to apply this to our hearts and lives, we could say there are many things that as Christians we can take joy in. We should delight in the joys of family. Many blessings that God has given to us are reasons for joy and thanksgiving. But Christian joy is a joy that is a loving delight in whatever is true and noble and upright and righteous and godly. Those things are the things that give us the greatest joy. Or delighting in the truthful sayings. This is a truthful saying revealed in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. This is what? 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a truthful saying and it deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Christians love the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. That's what gives us lasting joy. Because whatever we find in this world, whatever joys or delights we take in the things of this world, they are all passing and temporary, but there is a core Christian truth that gives us a lasting joy that never ends. A joy in the Lord, His work for us, and in His word. How can a Christian help but love this truth and delight in it? Taking pleasure in doing and saying what is right. Now think of what this means for the home. How can we as Christians delight in the truth? Or how is our Christian love, this delighting in the truth, how is that expressed in the home? Well, what events do we celebrate? What sort of events are the mile markers of our Christian homes? What sort of things does our family delight in? I love that the catechism in defining the fourth commandment says that we celebrate the festive day of rest. The festive day of rest. Right? As Christians, one of the most joyous days that we should have as a family is the festive day of rest. Rejoicing that we can go to church and celebrate with God's people, that we can hear the gospel, that we can participate in the means of grace. Delighting, rejoicings in the blessings as we obey the truth and speak the truth to each other in love. Taking joy in the blessings that God has done for us and the privileges of His covenant that He has given. And even as a church, how do we as a church delight in what is true? We delight not in savoring the secret sins of others. That's what gossip and backbiting is. That's delighting in the sins of others. This passage says we don't do that. Why don't we gossip as a church? Why don't we secretly sow the seeds of discord and pass on that secret note of other people's sins? It's because we're not delighting in sin. Well, what do we delight in? We delight when we hear of people's repentance. We delight in the gospel. What sort of things do we celebrate? We delight in baptism and the Lord's Supper and professions of faith. We delight in hearing the gospel proclaimed in preaching. True love is optimistic about the future of the church and our own personal future. Delighting to see godly growth. John 4, Jesus said, He is looking for true worshipers, worshipers who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And delighting in the truth means we delight in truthful, spirit-filled worship. Another way that we as a church can delight and celebrate in the truth is when we read the mission reports, you know, those things in your boxes that show up from time to time, talking about what this missionary is doing in this particular context. When you read that and you hear how the gospel is going forth to previously unreached people, doesn't that fill us with a Christian joy and thanksgiving, loving the fact that Jesus Christ's gospel is going forth? When we hear about our church planters filled with thanksgiving because the world that was dark is now being exposed to the light. And even in the world context as a whole, delighting in the truth when we see false doctrines exposed, when we hear of people being liberated from the captivity and slavery to idols and addictions, when addictions are broken and the way of righteousness is made known. John 8 says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Loving the truth, delighting in what is true, means we delight in the freedom that truth brings. It gives us great joy to see the truth overcoming the lie, exposing what is dark, where righteousness flourished, where unrighteousness once dwelled. True love rejoices in the object and expression of what is true. This delight is comprehensive. Delighting, rejoicing. A Christian love that delights and rejoices in the truth rejoices in everything that is true, upright, righteous, and good. To conclude, our short verse that we've considered today revealed that a Christian love, true love, refuses to rejoice in unrighteousness, but always rejoices with the truth. We have no greater joy than the joy we have in God and His Word. Those who know the truth will delight in those who share that truth. This joyful love is one that rejoices in the Lord and rejoices in Him always. We could say that Jesus would say to the church, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth, delighting in the truth. This gives joy to Jesus Christ. When His people, His church, are walking, delighting in the truth. We can share in his joy as we celebrate the truth he revealed. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Joyful love is a true Christian love. Praise God for the gift of this joyful love we have received. And as we go forth from this place, remember we are called to be joyful Christians. Hearts that are set on fire, fanned into flame with a bursting forth of gladness and thanksgiving in the truth that is ours. Truth made known in a person, incarnate truth, Jesus Christ. Truth made known in a word, in Scripture. Truth made known in all its glory. That Jesus Christ came to this world to die for sinners and to set us free. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this great truth which has been here revealed. And we pray that by your Spirit we would grow in this joy, in this delight, in this thanksgiving over the truth, in the truth, with the truth. May we, O Lord, never grow tired of being filled with this thanksgiving. And may the longer we are Christians, the more joyful may we become as we celebrate the truth revealed to us in Jesus Christ and his word. In his name we pray. Amen.